As was announced, the scripture reading for this evening will be taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. That's Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Good evening. I'm actually going to grab the remote and go down here, just like our brother Ron did last week. He inspired me. It's much more personable down here. I do my invitations from down here. I like being down here, just far enough away, though, so Josh can't trip me if he wants to. I thank the elders very much for the opportunity to be here and to speak with you guys tonight, and thank you for everyone here, and especially our visitors, and especially one of my oldest childhood friends, sitting with my mom. We've known each other since we were about 5 years old, and playing flag football together, and in a couple weeks, he's getting married. So if you get a chance, get over there, get to know him, and give them some advice. So thank everyone for being here. I have a very bad habit of not finishing shows that I start on Netflix and other streaming services. It's one of the worst things that I do, I know. I've been trying to finish Vampire Diaries for 3 years now. I know some people who can binge that in a single weekend. And I got the idea for my lesson tonight from a show that I've been watching and maybe I plan on finishing at some point in the future. It's a fictional show. But it's one that had some heavy religious connotation to it, mostly, you know, having to do with the Catholic Church and priests and things like that. And there was something that they would say over and over again in this that stuck with me. Many of you may have heard of it before. It's called the Serenity Prayer. I'd never really heard of it till the show, but I guess it's pretty common. Skylar said her dad gave her a bracelet with it on it before, and I've heard a few other people say the same thing that they've known about before, but apparently I didn't. Anyways, the Serenity Prayer, as they would mention over and over again in the show, is God grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it turns out, as I began to research that, I figured it came along sometime through Catholicism or something like that, something that they brought out and repeated over and over again. But actually, that comes from right here in Akron, Ohio. It came to notoriety in the 30s and 40s as becoming one of the main tokens of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is now globally renowned, but started right here in Akron, Ohio. And you can see why this message would be very encouraging to someone who's going through that program. But beyond that, for the rest of us, it is a great petition for everyday living, for practical life lessons. So we're going to look at some very simple things tonight, some lessons about things that we can and cannot change. So let's start with, when I made the PowerPoint, that line was not in the middle of my words. So let's start with the end of the phrase, actually. The wisdom to know the difference. This wisdom begins not with our own understanding, but it begins with a petition to God for His guidance and His wisdom to be able to discern these things. We know in a prayer, when we ask God in 1 John 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, and whenever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of Him. And this should be just the same. This should be something that we ask of God. We're given constant promise and assurance that God will hear our prayers when we are faithful to Him. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. And when we think about asking for wisdom, who's the first person that you think of? You think of Solomon. You know, God told him he could ask for anything that he wanted in the entire world. And instead of picking and choosing something materialistic, he chose wisdom. He asked God for knowledge and wisdom, and because he made the right choice in that regard, God obviously blessed him with everything else that he had in his life. Wisdom comes through answered prayers in many different ways. including the wisdom of your parents, the wisdom of your grandparents, the wisdom of your friends and your brothers and sisters in Christ, those both older and younger than you. They come from wisdom of your eldership, and they come through the wisdom of the Word of God, the Bible that He has given us. And the Bible and all those other things, they offer much discernment on things of serenity and change both. So let's start with peace and serenity. The serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. The only true peace and serenity can come from God. There's no other outlet, there's no other way or thing that this world has to offer that will give you the comfort, the peace, and the serenity that you need in all aspects of life. John 16 and verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And Philippians 4 and verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about the serenity and the peace that we get from God to accept the things that we can't change. Don't we all struggle with this throughout our whole lives? We spend countless hours, days, and years of our lives worrying about and trying to change things that can't be changed. We've tried to change things that are unchangeable. It's impossible. You can't change them. And we spend countless and innumerable time worrying about those things instead of things that we actually can change, things that we actually can do. Matthew 6 and verse 27 was the first thing I thought of. And when Jesus tells them, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? And, you know, it doesn't matter how much you worry about certain things. There's nothing that you can do about it. And it's very important to identify those things and stop wasting our time, worrying about and trying to change those things that we just can't. Jesus is pleading with us that you can't change certain things. Specifically, here he's referring to the fact that one day that we're all going to die. It doesn't matter how much you worry and try to avoid death. Well, you might put it off for another year or two, but eventually you're going to die. That's absolutely something that we can't change. It's something that almost everyone in the entire world, whether they're a Christian or not, spends all their time worrying about and trying to change, trying to preserve their life, trying to prolong their life. Well, when we talk about serenity and something as serious and unavoidable as death, we can only turn to God, because truthfully, there's no other answers when it comes to life and death. We spent a lot of time last week talking about the resurrection and what it means for us as Christians. Because Jesus tasted and defeated death for each and every one of us, it took the sting of death away. And it gives us the peace and serenity that no one else has, because we have Christ. And because of that, we can live our lives to the absolute fullest without the fear of death, without the fear of judgment, if we are striving to be faithful. We don't live in constant fear of what day will be our last, but can make the most of our lives knowing that whenever that is, hopefully long, long time from now, that's just fine. We can truly live our lives to the fullest because of that. Another thing that we cannot change that requires peace and serenity is what God asks of us. No matter how much you don't like it, how much you worry about it, or don't understand why you have to do something or not do something that God has commanded you, it does not change that you have to do it. And while sometimes it's very easy to see why God requires certain things of us, and it's easy for us to keep those things, sometimes there's things that are difficult for us to keep, and we can't give a reason why, we don't understand. And truly the best answer, not trying to give a shallow answer at all, sometimes the best all-encompassing answer that we can give is because God said so and wanted it to be that way. You know, why baptism to put on Christ? You know, why the church? You know, why withdraw from people? Why go to worship every week? You know, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? You know, some of those things have obvious answers, but again, what encompasses them all is because God said so. And we need His peace, we need His serenity to accept those things and swallow our own pride and swallow our own desires and understand that these are things that draw us near to Him and ultimately will save our soul. Something else we can't change: the past. Have you ever done something in your life that you regret? Maybe it was many, many years ago and you're very far removed from it now. You've been forgiven of it, you know, long ago, but does it still haunt you to this day? You know, of course, you know, we all feel that way from time to time. I'm always baffled by the promise that God makes us when we confess our sins and He forgives them and He remembers them no more. But why do I still remember them? You know, they still bother us. And maybe that's a blessing in disguise to remember that I never want to feel that way again. I remember them because I remember how I felt in that moment, in that time, and, you know, the guilt and the sorrow, and I know what I did to God. And maybe that's a blessing in disguise because we can think back and remember, and I don't ever want to make God feel that way again, and I don't ever want to feel that way about myself again. You know, I'm changed. I'm a different person from when I was then. And that helps us move forward. God's forgiving and forgetting should mean freedom to move forward with our lives as Christians. It's not a license to sin again, but it's motivation that we can leave the past behind, and we have to, because we just cannot change it. Everyone is worth more than their worst day. The past keeps good Christians with potential to do great things held back, holds them back from their true potential. We need God's serenity and peace to overcome our past and understand that we can't change it no matter how hard you want to, no matter how hard you try to. But it does not affect how we can live from this day forward, how we can live from this day on. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Philippians 3 and verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If there was anyone at all who had the right or the reason to look back at their past and let it, you know, really hold it, well, you know, I can't be great in the kingdom of God. I can't do great things for him because, you know, think about what I did in the past. Wouldn't it have been the Apostle Paul? You know, wouldn't have been the Apostle Paul who could look back and see when he was Saul of Tarsus and he was responsible for the persecution and the murder of Christians and let that burden him and hold him back from ever being great in the kingdom. Obviously, he didn't let them do that. He just pressed forward. He left the past behind and he moved forward. Something personally that I've been overwhelmed with at times recently is the fact that we can't change the whole world. That's just a reality. Something I can't change is everything and everyone. And even less than that, I won't even be able to change all the people that are closest to me, the closest people that I love. You know, we all have family members. We all have friends that don't believe, and it's awfully hard to accept that even despite our best efforts, they may never believe. You know, and then I thought about in Luke 19 when Jesus was overlooking Jerusalem and wept over the destruction that was coming for his people. Was there anyone who felt this overwhelming feeling of not being able to save everyone better than Jesus himself? Not that he himself was unable. He was able to save all of them. But these who were his own people, these who he had performed miracles in front of, these who were his friends and peers that he was around and saw him do these great things, rejected him to his face. And so when I get really, you know, distraught about that, I just think about Jesus. And again, he's able to sympathize with all of our weaknesses, to sympathize with everything that we go through and experience. And he is the best example of that, of you know, and don't you think that he understood the eternal condition of everyone around him better than anyone else? And, you know, he had a love for his people when he was on earth that we couldn't comprehend. And but the rejection did not stop him from trying. And we can't stop us from trying either. And succeeding to make many disciples is what Jesus did. We cannot change everyone, but what we can do and must do is try to change someone, is try to have an impact and help someone. We're not going to be able to solve peace in the Middle East. We're not going to be able to end world hunger just by ourselves. We can just do what we can with what God has given us. So, on to the courage to change the things that I can change. All those things, nothing you can do about them. You can't change them. Time to move on. On to the just like serenity and peace only coming from God, true courage only comes from God as well. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Change is a scary word, but it's necessary. We know it many times in our life. I believe the key to finding courage to change what you need comes from fixating on what you have, not on what you don't. We should always count our blessings, but instead, so often do you find yourself counting more so what you don't have or what other people have instead of you? Oh, the fact of the matter is someone's always going to have more money than you. Someone's always going to have a nicer car than you, a nicer house than you. Someone's always going to have something better materialistically than you, but that doesn't make them better than you, and that doesn't make you any less equipped to change the things that you need to change and do the things that you need to do. The Bible gives constant examples of using what you have. People accomplish great things just with whatever small or large God has blessed them with. Think about the parable of the talents. They weren't judged based on how many talents they were given. The one who was given 10 talents was not greater in the kingdom than or 5 talents was not greater than the one who was given 1. They each had different talents and abilities, and God only expected and required of them what they were able to do. God never expects more from us than what we're able to do. You know, not everyone can be a gospel preacher. Not everyone can do this. Not everyone can do that. Everyone has different talents and different abilities, and you're just asked to use them. It doesn't matter what they are. You just have to use them. And, you know, like I said, in other words, God doesn't expect us to change things that we can't. He only expects us to change the things that we can and have to. So what do we have that gives us courage to make changes? Some very obvious things we'll go through quickly. Obviously, we have God on our side. You know, we hear it all the time, you know, with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I'm going to talk about Jesus too. I just skipped God there. We have God on our side, you know, and think about what that means just for a minute. You have the creator of the universe fighting for you. Go back and read all the stories of the Old Testament when they were overmatched. They were overwhelmed with whoever they were fighting, whoever they were facing from a very physical perspective, but they had God on their side. Nothing else mattered. There was literally nothing else that mattered. They were going to overcome and win that war. And Christ himself, he didn't stop working for us when he died on the cross. You know, he is still our friend and our mediator today. We can still approach God in prayer through Christ. He continues to mediate on our behalf. We have the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, all those things should give us courage and those are all things that we have that give us courage and the ability to make the changes that we need. So we spend a lot of time usually talking about those things. Well, let's think about this one. Let's think about time. This is maybe the greatest thing that you and I still have right now. Well, not greater than God, obviously, but to recognize the time that we have. I don't know how much or how little time that I have or that you have, but you have something, at least for right now, that everyone else who has ever lived does not. You have time. When we all reach our deathbeds, hopefully many, many, many years from now, and we look back on the lives that we lived, what are we going to ask for more of? You know, I'm on my deathbed. I just wish I had more money. Or I wish I just put a little more ketchup on that hot dog. Or, you know, that's not what you're going to be thinking about when you're on your deathbed. When you're on your deathbed, the only thing that you're going to ask for is more time. More time for what? More time to spend with your loved ones. Oh, I just wish I had more time to live and to do more for Christ. That's the only thing that we ask for. But we can live our lives in a way where we won't have to have that feeling. I can promise you that. On your deathbed, you won't have to have that feeling. When I was in Chicago this summer at the Natural History Museum, they had an exhibit. The entire exhibit was just called Death. And it took like archaeological stuff from civilizations from the beginning of time and saw how they dealt with death and how they would bury their loved ones and what they believed about the afterlife. And it was really, really interesting to see, you know, how almost everyone believed in an afterlife and a higher power and things like that throughout all civilizations. But one thing that I took a picture of that stuck out to me there, I don't even know who Mae West is. I don't even know if that's a real person. But it was on the wall there, and it said, you only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough. I mean, isn't that the truth? Once is enough. If you get to the end of your life, no matter when it is, and you've lived your life for Christ, and now you get to leave this earthly body and go and be at home with God forever, for all eternity, isn't that enough? Isn't that the best life that you could live? Isn't that all you need? I can't tell you about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen an hour from now. I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner. But you have right now. The past we talked about, God doesn't care about. God, he only cares about what you do from this moment on. Have you been a great Christian up to this point, your whole life? Great. Don't stop now. Keep going. Have you been a terrible Christian up to this point in your life? Well, repent and pray God right now. You have the time to change it and do just that. And live every moment from now on for Him once again. Have you never obeyed the gospel? Have you never thought about God or religion very much at all? Have you never made Jesus your Savior? You can make that change and start right now. Your past does not matter. Your present and future are the only things that God cares about. You know, it takes courage to do these things, and that's what we ask God for. We ask Him for the courage to make the changes that we need to. Have you been praying enough? Have you been studying enough? Have you been active in the church like you need to be? Do you have sin in your life and you just can't quite, you know, get over it? There's something that's keeping you from getting over it. Or maybe it's a person or relationship that you have that's keeping you from being all that you should be, a person that you need to, you know, get away from or something like that. You know, all those things take courage to get out of. And we need God for that courage. But all those things you have time to do now. What about, you know, well, I've never, you know, had a chance to talk to this person, you know, I really care about them and, you know, I really want to tell them about Jesus and I just, you know, I haven't really had the chance yet. Well, take courage and use the time that you have now because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Make better use of your time starting today. And whenever the end of life comes again, many, many years from now, or whenever Christ comes back, we won't have any regrets. You know, courage to change means that wherever you're at in life, anything that you don't like about your life, anything or wherever you're at in your faith or in your lack of faith, you have the ability to change all of that in an instant. You have the ability to change your eternal condition of where you're going to spend eternity in an instant. And that's the power of change. We have all the resource and reason that we need to make today the first day of the rest of our life. So we go back to this. You know, we ask God to grant the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change. You know, we have to admit those things, and we need to stop spending time on those things that we cannot change. Quit fighting them. Quit worrying about them. You're just wasting your life. You're just wasting your time. And we need the courage to change the things that I can't. As we each tonight examine ourselves and whether or not we're in the faith and identify something that you need to change, have the courage to do it. Ask God for the courage to do it, whatever that may be. And again, asking God for wisdom is always an excellent idea to know the difference between those things, and that way you'll live a very fulfilled life and make the best use of your time because the days are evil. And again, we don't know how much time that we have. Again, we could hopefully all live very long lives or till Jesus comes back, but we just don't know. And we don't know about the future, but we have now, and we can make the most of now and do what we need to do as we stand and as we sing this song of invitation.